Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson. I'm sitting in for Andrew McKay this morning. I'll be here all morning, and glad you've joined us this morning. It's cold. John left the back door open, I think, and the winter has returned, so it's cold this morning. If you go out, put a jacket on. It's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. I hope you've taken care of your Valentine with card and candy, flowers, or all those things that you need to do on Valentine's Day. This is a day a lot of people get engaged, so if you're thinking about that, good luck. Hope she says yes. But if she says no, you know, there's other fish in the sea, right, John?
Yes. The good news is I got all my Valentine's stuff done yesterday.
Ah.
We went out to dinner. Yeah. We did all of it early.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to fight all the people.
I left some candy and a card on the kitchen table this morning for my Valentine. So happy Valentine's Day, Nancy. Waking her up at 4 o'clock was probably not a good idea. So I said, I'll just leave it on the table and... when I got up this morning, there was a card for me, too. So, yeah, wasn't that sweet? So happy Valentine's Day, everybody. What else? Today is Oregon Statehood Day. It was admitted to the Union in 1859 as part of the Louisiana Purchase. So happy Oregon Statehood Day. It's also Arizona Statehood Day. Arizona was admitted in 1912 as the 48th state, and that was part of the Gadsden Purchase from Mexico, Arizona, New Mexico. And some other territory. So those two states have Valentine's Day as their statehood day, so happy statehood day. It's also the anniversary of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago.
Right.
Seven members of the Bugsy Moran gang were shot dead in an alley by probably Al Capone's folks.
Probably, yeah.
They dressed up like policemen and arrested them and stood them up against the wall and just mowed them down. So anyhow, not a good memory of Valentine's Day, but it is the anniversary of that in the 1930s. I think it was 31, but I'm not sure about that. Anyhow, also on this day, Castro became premier of Cuba in 1959. And Cuba, you know, could be the next proposed state if you could depose the communist government there. That'd be a wonderful, wonderful place for a state. Tonight is the Heart Ball. If you want to go to that, it's 6 o'clock. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got Brian Hicks who will be here. He's the Associate Pastor of Discipleship from First Baptist Church. He's going to talk about relationships because it's Valentine's Day. So we'll have that. We'll have Lindsay Cannon, who's the Executive Director of the Escambia Children's Trust. They're accepting some grant applications right now, so she'll be here. Dick Baker will be here from the UWF Board. Lots of exciting things going on at the UWF Board. The governor's new appointments to the board, who don't live here, who may have never even been to UWF. We'll find out what's going there, and Dick will tell us about that. We'll also have the wrap with Buzz Ritchie and Molly Barrow, two well-connected folks in our community who are going to tell us what's going on. And, of course, we got Julio Diaz. It's Friday. Instead of movies, though, Dio's going to talk to us today about Pensacon.
Well, that kicks off today.
Yes, and so Julio said, I ain't got time to watch movies. I've got to go to the Pensacon, so, which
right.
is fine. So we'll talk to Julio about that. He's down there in line with his Darth Vader suit on, I guess. But we'll look forward to hearing from Julio. And we'll also talk to Dave Greenwood, the Pensacola Beach Safety Chief. Things are warming up out there, so he can fill us in on.
Except for this morning.
Huh?
Except for this morning. I walked out the door. I was like, I got short sleeve on, and I'm like, what?
Not a good morning to be on the beach. Plus, where was the first European settlement in North America? Okay? We've said it's Pensacola. We have plaques up and statues up and all kinds of things saying that, but the answer might surprise you. We're going to talk to Dr. Norman Haynes about that, and we've got some breaking news there. Okay?
Interesting.
Well, I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. Thanks for joining us.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated in the best hearing aids of 2024 by USA Today, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 500,000 happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hutchinson filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. If you want to join our conversation, we're glad you're here, but you can text us at 850-437-1620. We'll be talking about lots of stuff today, so if you have a thought about any of that, text us in. We'll repeat that number later on, but you should have it in your phone, right, John?
Yes, for sure.
Put that in your phone, 850-437-1620.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, and because we're always
interested.
Just tell
Siri to do it.
Yeah, always interested in what people have to say, so... Texas, if you've got a thought. It is Valentine's Day. I hope you got your special something special. So in honor of Valentine's Day, I thought we would take a look at the queen of relationships in today's pop culture. Do you know who that is, John?
No.
She goes to Chiefs games. Yeah, Taylor Swift. You know, her current squeeze is Travis Kelce. Everybody knows that.
Right.
The tight end for the Chiefs. I guess they're still together, you know, since the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. She may think that he's not up to par anymore. And he even said yesterday, I saw that he's thinking about retiring. So I don't
really
know.
I didn't hear that yet.
Yeah, he's thinking about it, but I don't know if Taylor's going to let him, because I mean, she gets a lot of publicity going to those games.
Sure does. And the Swifties are there just to see her.
Yeah, 14-year-old girls are watching football, you know. How about that? But she's had a lot of relationships, so I thought in honor of Valentine's Day, we would just kind of do a rundown of Taylor Swift's boyfriends, and just so everybody will be in the know of what she's been doing. Her and Kelce have been together since 2023. She's had 14 relationships since 2008. That's 14 relationships in 17 years. That's like one every 14, 15 months. So, Travis, the clock is ticking. You got 14 or 15 months. I don't think I've known 14 girls in my entire life, but
right.
She's had 14 relationships with them. All right, let's do the rundown, and we'll make this quick. In 2008, she was with John Jonas, who was with the Jonas Brothers rock band, and I really liked the Jonas Brothers. Not enough to date him, but 2008, she was with John Jonas, with the Jonas Brothers. That lasted a year. In 2009, she was with Taylor Lautner, the actor in Twilight. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh.
That didn't even last a year, because at the end of 2009, she went with John Mayer. And I love John Mayer. He's a blues performer, great guitar player, by the way. So 2009 to 2010, John Mayer. Then in 2010, she picked up with Jake Gyllenhaal. He's an actor Brokeback Mountain. If you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Brokeback
Mountain.
We all remember that one. So it's 2011. So in 3 years, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4. Then also in 2011, so Jake didn't last very long, Will Anderson, who was an actor on Love Island, which I've never seen. I guess other people have, but yeah. And then in 2012 to 2014, so this is a long-term relationship here, she was with Harry Styles, who was an English singer with One Direction. But then also in 2012, so the relationship with Styles, 2012 to 14, is kind of on again, off again, because also in 2012, she was dating Connor Kennedy. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s son. He was 17. Yes. But then also in 2013, she was with A. Skarsgård. He's a Swedish actor. Tarzan. You remember the movie Tarzan?
Yes.
Yes. So she dropped Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for Tarzan. And also Tom O'Dell, who was an English singer. So she had four boyfriends back and forth from 2012 to 2014. I'm tired already. Then in 2015, Calvin Harris was next. He was a Scottish DJ, record producer. That lasted for a year. In 2016, she picked up with Tom Hiddleston, an actor, Dr. Doom. Did you see Dr. Doom?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Dr. Doom, Tom Hiddleston, 2016 to 2023. This is 7 years. This is the longest relationship with one person. Joe Alwyn. Joe was an English actor from the movie Boy Erased. Longest relationship, 7 years. I guess she got the seven-year itch because in 2023, she was with Matthew Healy, who was an English singer, English songwriter. And in 2023, Travis Kelce. So that's for now with Travis Kelce. So of the 14 relationships, 12 of them are either actors or musicians, which makes sense because that's the business that she's in. One was a son of a Kennedy, and one is a football player. So there you go. Those are the rundown of boyfriends for the Queen of Pop, Taylor Swift, on Valentine's Day. I hope none of you have 14 Valentines today. But if you don't have a Valentine's, and I understand that some people don't. So, but know this, that we here at Pensacola Morning News love you. So you can send us some donuts, right, John?
Yes, yeah. And I'll answer the door too.
But happy Valentine's Day! I hope you have taken care of your Valentine. We'll have Brian Hicks in later on, who is a relationship counselor, also a associate minister at First Baptist Church. We've got lots of questions about relationships to ask Brian. So if you've got a question about your relationship, now I'll be asking for a friend. All these questions.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But if you've got questions about your relationships, you can text them in. We'll see if Brian can answer them. And but he'll be with us later on in the show. We've got lots of other great stuff coming up in the show. We've got Norman Haynes, who's going to be here. Norman is a local historian. And do you think that Pensacola was the first settlement in the United States by European settlers?
That's what I've been told.
That's what we've been told, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it may not be true. Norman's got some great information on that. So I went down, since Norman and I had talked about this, he gives a presentation once a week or twice a month for the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, and on all kinds of topics. So we'll talk about that when he gets here. But I heard a presentation that he made last week, and it was about this issue. About is Pensacola the first, and I thought this is really intriguing. This is really interesting. What made it interesting too was Dr. Judy Bentz from UWF, who's done so much research on DeLuna, was in the audience, and she concurred with his presentation. So this is endorsed by Dr. Bentz. But the thing that's made DeLuna so prevalent in our minds is that we've actually found the ships. The archaeology department at UWF, under Judy's leadership, found the ships. We have found the location where the settlement was, right behind Jerry's Drive-In. And I said, that makes sense because, they wanted good burgers.
Yeah, sure.
When they landed here.
Yeah,
so.
No blame them.
So that we know so much about DeLuna. I think we're going to find out that while they may or may not have been first, we know a lot less about the other explorer that we're going to talk about. But Dr. Norman Haynes will be here to do that. And that'll be a great presentation. We're also going to give Trump a report card. You know, he's been in office 25 days.
I can't believe it's flown by.
It's like three press conferences every day.
Oh, I know. But you know what? Transparency. He answers questions.
And he doesn't look at a piece of paper and say, okay, Joe from CNN, read the question that we gave you.
Oh, he's really good with names. He remembered mine, and I hadn't seen him in, 3 years?
Wow.
He remembered my name.
Wow, that is impressive.
I was just like, I can't even remember my name, much less recall it.
Well, but having those press conferences, we know what's going on.
Yes.
And we never did before. We had to guess, and even when they had a press conference, you still didn't know what was going on. And the press secretary before, if you listened to her, you would never know what was going on.
No.
So I think all that's better, and I think people we'll get into that a lot more when we talk about his report card. But he's done a lot of things. Some are good, some not so good, and some are just like okay. So I graded him on all of these things that he's done. I didn't get to all of them because there's like a million and a half.
Did you grade on a curve?
No. It's okay. Just straight grade.
Okay. I was just curious. I didn't know if he got extra points.
But we'll talk about that later on today, Trump's report card, all the good things he's done. We'll also talk about the budget. So do you think we're going broke? We've got a huge deficit. There's no question about that. But does that mean the United States is going broke? We'll get into that a little bit and talk about what that means. So should you be concerned about that? I know we're finding lots of ways to save money. But the question of are we going broke is a good one we're going to address as well. We've also got Buzz Ritchie and Molly Barrow, who will be in for the wrap at the end of the show. Good folks, well-connected. Buzz was in the legislature 10 years. Representing Northwest Florida. So we'll talk to him. Of course, Molly writes for the PNJ, Pensacola News Journal, and she also has a podcast, Gulf Coast Confidential. She likes to solve mysteries. So we'll talk to Molly about
also
that.
Also on Channel 3. Was on Channel 3.
Yeah, she was on Channel 3 for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Molly will be here. Dr. Norm Haynes, we've talked about that. College baseball season starts today. We'll talk about that. That should be fun. I love college baseball for lots of reasons. We'll talk about that. Lindsay Cannon with the Escambia County Children's Trust will also join us. They've had some ups and downs, some fits and starts since they were put into place. We'll talk about that. She's done, I think, an admirable job of keeping the ship moving forward. It's not been easy, but we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about this notion of governments giving away money to charities. You know, the USAID has brought that to light, all the money that they give to 501c3s. But really, Escambia County and the city of Pensacola do it as well. So we'll talk about that notion of giving our taxpayer money to charities. All right, lots of good stuff coming up. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let's go to Steve Taylor in the newsroom.
Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. 14 states are suing Elon Musk and President Trump for unlawful delegation of executive power. That lawsuit was filed yesterday, argues that Trump's DOGE agency and the authority being given to tech billionaire and basically is unconstitutional. Arizona, Michigan, and Rhode Island are among those states who have joined that suit. Looks like the Minnesota Zoo is putting on a new twist on Valentine's Day gift giving. You guys were talking about Valentine's Day a little earlier. Well, the zoo is offering donors a chance to name a bug after somebody they love or dislike. You see what happens? The bug is then fed to one of the animals in the zoo, and an e-card with a personalized message will also be sent to those who have their names attached to the bug.
A bug?
Yeah. Basically, you name the bug after somebody you love or dislike. I don't know why you'd name it after somebody you love,
right,
then feed
exactly
it to the animal. But basically, most people do, you know, basically for a past flame that just basically dumped them. Yeah, okay, I'll name bug after you and feed it to an animal. Take that, you know.
Take it, yes.
You're right. Yeah, that's basically what's happening.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Steve's sitting in today for David Wayne. And I told John, I love Steve's voice. If there ever was a radio voice, Steve Taylor has it. So thanks, Steve. Thanks for being in with us this morning. Hey, UWF recently announced that the head football coach office at UWF is going to be named in honor of President Emeritus Dr. Judy Bents. Of course, Dr. Bents was the impetus behind getting football at UWF, which is a great thing.
Right.
They won a national championship. They came in second one year, and then the next year they won a national championship. So football's been very successful there. So they named the head football coach's office after Dr. Benz.
That's awesome.
They should have named the stadium after her. But, well, that's another issue. That's another issue. So. All right. Let's go to traffic. No, not traffic on the 5.
Nope.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster.
We're going to talk, of course, about the Ukraine-Russia conflict and how to bring it to a negotiated settlement.
Vice President Vance at the Munich Security Conference in Germany, meeting with the head of the NATO military alliance.
The vice president is also expected to meet with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky later today. Vance told the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. could hit Moscow with sanctions and potential military action to push Russian President Vladimir Putin into a deal to end the war in Ukraine.
Fox's Brooke Singman. At least three federal prosecutors, including the top prosecutor in New York, Danielle Sassoon, resigned after refusing to drop New York City Mayor Eric Adams' corruption charges as ordered.
Sassoon told Attorney General Pam Bondi she believes Eric Adams broke the law. The department accepted her resignation. President Trump was asked if he had anything to do with the dropping of the Adams case. He said no. As of now, that case is still active.
Fox's David Spun. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 47 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Pensacola's mayor gave us an update on the Baptist Hospital project this week. The city was waiting on bids for the demolition to come back in, but they were delayed due to snowmageddon.
Because of the snowstorm, we were expecting to get bid packages back on February 17th, and we've extended that to February 27th.
Reeve says once the bids come in, they'll know more about the actual project cost and whether grant funding that's been acquired so far will cover that cost. Reeve says they feel good about the bids, but won't have a final answer until the end of the month. He says a bid should be selected April 3rd. The Santa Rosa County Commission is looking at taking $1.5 million previously set aside to pay for a study at the Navarre Beach Causeway Bridge and putting it towards installing tolling devices at the span to collect funds to be put towards maintenance and the eventual construction of a new bridge. Commissioner Ray Eddington has been pressing fellow board members to start looking seriously at replacing that aging bridge. At yesterday's regular commission meeting, he said establishing the toll is the only way to do it and get money coming in, according to the PNJ. Fellow commissioners agreed to discuss the idea of establishing those tolls at the next meeting, and a proposal will be put on the agenda for the county's February 24th meeting. Based on information obtained by looking at toll plate systems utilized by neighboring counties, staff concluded establishing a toll between 50 cents and $1.50 crossing that bridge would raise about $2 million annually to put towards a new bridge. Looks like a suspect in yesterday morning's officer-involved shooting in Navarre had been identified by Sheriff Bob Johnson as a known gang member and former Colorado inmate that's now living in Santa Rosa County.
He was very aggressive during the traffic stop. He was he would not listen to anything the deputy had to say. The deputy was trying to de-escalate the situation. It was not working. It was apparent by me watching the body cam that there was something else going on with this individual, probably a drug of some type.
Johnson said 39-year-old Justin Dale Peacock was pulled over and was acting aggressively. The deputy shot him in the leg when he reached into his vehicle to get something against the deputy's orders. Johnson says after being shot, Peacock still led the deputy on foot and was tased before being arrested. Johnson described Peacock as a frequent flyer and said he has spent 238 days in the Santa Rosa County Jail and spent years in prison at his home state in Colorado. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating that shooting. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day for this Valentine's Day. Temperatures warming up near 66 degrees for your high, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Saturday, cloudy skies with a 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, very warm and humid with a high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 57 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, 47. To Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 degrees right now in Milton at 5:08. Looks like news is in 5:34. Try to read the clock. Next news is coming up, of course, at 6 a.m. Breaking news, of course, happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no. So we looked at the price. We're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I'm getting at is when we say $185 million, there are a lot of very expensive projects that are on this list that we haven't added to that $185 million. You're probably talking like a $360 million, if I remember some rough estimates we did.
Ah, third of $1 billion. Who cares? No big deal. We can make that up, and we can't. So that's Brad Baker, the Santa Rosa County Administrator, talking during the workshop they had the other day. All kinds of very interesting things came out of that workshop. Brad is on the phone now, joins us after we have a meeting. Like, we just had the regular meeting yesterday, not the committee meeting. It was a makeup from Snowmageddon. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. Just one thing I was unclear about, and I just want to make sure people are aware. The $185 million in projects we know we need right now, those are still not funded, though, right? And I know the 355 is not funded. That would include things like the bridge to Navarre. But the 185 is also still not funded, right?
Not completely. There are some of the projects that are fully funded and some are partially funded.
Okay.
But you're correct. The 185, they're still not all completely funded.
And one example of that is Chemukla Highway, which is a project you guys have. Are you done with the stuff at Highway 90 and Five Points, or is that still in the works?
The Highway 90 end of Woodbine is still in construction. The Five Points end is still in design, but it's nearing completion, and we'll go to bid and construction of that.
Okay, very good. That's to give the like turn lanes and facilitate the throughput of those. But Shamukla Highway was a big topic of conversation the other day. Four laning Shamukla Highway all the way up to like the athletic complex. That's already in PD&E, but the actual construction is not funded, which is going to be a pretty price tag to get to, right?
Yeah, it will be. The so actually, we've got Shamukla Highway kind of in a couple of sections there. So sure. The Highway 90 to Five Point, that is in PD&E. Not the PD&E is funded, but not the construction. We own a lot of the right-of-way. We'll probably have to acquire a couple pond locations along there. And then the Shamukla Highway up to the Para, the sports complex, that's part of that five-point interchange widening project. And then what we discussed, I believe it was Commissioner Burkett brought up, he'd like to see it go further north, and there seemed to be an appetite. So we have a SCOP project.
That's a small county outreach program. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And we have that, and we're fixing to submit it again. And so we were going to do safety shoulders along Shamukla Highway up to Fox Pond Drive from Para, just to do some improvements. And we thought, well, if the board's already discussed it, let's go ahead instead of designing safety shoulders. Let's see if they would want to, you know, go ahead and do that four lane to Willard North. And they chose that yesterday. So that's, we'll amend our SCOP application and submit it and include that. So that design will, it'll be next year before it's funded, and then, you know, another year to do the design. So, you know, that's probably a 3 to 4 year out project once we identify funding.
Okay. And so that would put us, that would have us designed all the way from 90 up to Willard Norris Road. But the actual cost of building the expansion for the south end is going to be what, 30 more, 40?
I would say, yeah, I would say between 30 and 40, you know, depending on what, you know,
the price of everything.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah, you know, and how long we wait, right? And what about the north end? Is that, because that's more, a little bit more rural, so I assume that's good, but it's longer, which is bad. What's the price tag? Would you, I mean, I know it's a wild guess at this moment, but what would you guess for the north end? Same kind of price range?
Yeah, we were discussing that as well. And, you know, if you base it on some of the current projects, it's probably going to be in the $30 million range.
Okay.
But we don't have that kind of rural area without all the conflicts that we own the majority of the right of way. You know what? Like, for example, when we do the, you're familiar with Shamukla Highway and 90.
Yeah.
That intersection alone is going to be a nightmare because you have the power poles are in the way, the water lines, the sewer lines, the fiber lines, everything is right at that corner. So that's going to drive just that, the intersection expansion up dramatically because you have to move all that, relocate all that. So that's all additional costs above just four lane and lane pavement.
Makes sense. And by the way, I think I misspoke earlier. I was talking about the Shamukla and 90, but I meant the Woodbine and 90, and you corrected me, so I appreciate that. Brad, I know one of the big kind of developments from the workshop is that you guys are going to start looking at things like a municipal services taxing unit, an MSTU, that would be an ad valorem based for law enforcement funding, or at least a share of law enforcement funding, an MSBU, which would be a flat fee base for stormwater and, storm mitigation and ponds and all that kind of stuff in about 100 subdivisions in Santa Rosa County, about 6,000 homes. Can I make a request as a citizen? You guys, obviously, you don't get to do this stuff, but the board does. Just when the numbers come out for those, I would personally be curious to get not just the like the ad valorem slice from the sheriffs. I would be curious to know if you did it as an MSBU, what it would be, and vice versa. When the MSBU for the stormwater comes out, I'd be curious to know what an MSTU would look like to fund the same thing, because I think there's a good conversation to be had about what everybody should pay equally on and what people should pay property value proportional on.
Yeah, so there's a couple of challenges with that, Andrew, just the way that they're laid out. So an MSBU has to benefit real property, where the sheriff responding to a domestic dispute or whatever has no benefit to your real property. That's why we can do the stormwater. That's why we can do fire assessment fees in a BU setting, where an MSTU is just another taxing unit. So it allows to do things that don't benefit real property.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for telling me my stupidity. I appreciate that. No, seriously, because I did not. It makes sense, though, because I was like, well, what about fire? And you said, well, fire is a structure. Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, there goes my pipe dream. The other one, and this is more of a, either you already do this, or if you don't, it's kind of an idea that you made me think about. You were talking about these contractors maintaining the ponds and how, you know, you're going to put out for bid to get them to, you know, and then you're going to have performance evaluations, or you have done in the past, and certain people don't measure up. It just suddenly occurred to me that whenever you have a bid or somebody performs a contract with the county, there ought to be an after-action evaluation of them of how, you know, were they on time, were they on cost, and how good was the work done. And it seems like every time somebody comes before the county with a bid, there ought to be their history, you know, like almost like a database that the public would be able to look at. Like company A did 5 projects, 2 were A's and 3 were on time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you do that already, but it seems like that would be useful things for evaluating the quality of future work as opposed to just the price of their bid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's what we started about a year ago.
Okay.
And that's what we recently brought to the board as one that, you know, we had challenges with the previous project. It was the only one they had. We met with a contractor, did their evaluation, you know, so we agreed that we give them one more chance, but we highlighted all their deficiencies in our mind, in our review, and they committed to doing better. But I agree with you, because we don't always want the lowest bid. The lowest bid is not always the best bid.
Right. And I love that, because I want, if I'm a commissioner, I want to be able to vote on, well, you know, the bid was higher, but that's A quality work, or the bid was medium, but that's a C quality work, or, you know, the bid is really low, but we know we don't want them, because, right? So.
And it's only fair to them too,
right?
The contractor.
Right.
You know, we want to be good partners. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're the customer. So, no, and that's really encouraging that you guys have already started doing that within, you know, within the last year. That's fantastic. On a totally different note, I ask you this because, you know, with President Trump coming into office, there's been a lot of conversation about FEMA, and I've heard a lot of very negative things said about FEMA. I know they've been slow, and I know we're still waiting on Sally stuff, and it's a nightmare. But I had also, my own perception had always been that FEMA was pretty good. Of course, DeSantis has talked about maybe FEMA should be gotten rid of, and we just do block grant funding, let us handle our disasters, we'll handle it well. You were the emergency manager in Santa Rosa County for forever. You're still over that department because you're the county administrator. Do you have a thought about FEMA? And, you know, feel free to be as candid as you like. It's got good parts, bad parts, bureaucracy. I just don't know. You're the expert, and I'm just asking for your perspective.
Yeah, so there have been many challenges with FEMA. I mean, I think there are some good points about it. But, you know, like, we'll take Hurricane Ivan, for example. It took us almost 15 years to get our reimbursement off of that. You know, they do a hazard mitigation grant program, which is really money that's allocated after a disaster to try to prevent those damages from occurring again.
Sure.
And, you know, you're probably familiar with the Ashmore project. I mean, we had to delay that probably almost 2 years waiting on them to review our cost-benefit analysis, and just a challenge to get the funding. So I think there's definitely ways for improvement. I think there's definitely been waste in the FEMA world, where you're sending people out to the citizens' houses, and all they're telling you is that's a county function, go to see them, when it's not a county function. So it's taking our time and energy to kind of right the ship after disaster, because everybody's looking for assistance.
Sure.
So I definitely think there is room for improvement. I do think the challenge is, obviously, I'm comfortable with our state because I've dealt with them for years, and FEMA's a pass-through anyway, so we don't get any direct money through FEMA. We get it through the state. So if they could do something like the governor is talking about, and let our state emergency management manage it and take a level of bureaucracy out of it, I think it would be a great thing. I will tell you, though, for example, if we had the Ivan today, that's probably $50 or $60 million debris storm. We have $25 million in our disaster fund allocated. We could pull a few more resources like we always have to if we have a big disaster.
Yeah.
But we would be looking for debt services. We'd have to go to a bank to get some money to pay our bills to pay that $50 million until we could build our bank back up, right?
Just to clear the debris. Gotcha. Go on.
Just to clear the debris. That's not to fix any roads or bridges that were damaged or county structures. So, I mean, there are challenges, so we have to have something in place, or the local people are going to struggle, and especially in a disaster-heavy area like Florida.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to – it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we have a major disaster. So, I mean, that's why we have a $25 million disaster fund.
Right.
But the cost of handling a disaster has – just since I got emergency management in 2005. Just the cost since 2005 to manage the same disaster is three or four times the cost it is now.
Wow. Okay. Well, that really helped.
To get the burden.
Yeah. No, that helps me think about this in several different ways. Because it sounds like you're saying, we're just completely out of time, but it sounds like what you're saying is, at least for a state like Florida, the block grant concept and letting Florida handle Florida, as long as there are some other things, would be better, more efficient, and would probably help us respond to disasters and prevent disasters because of that access to the hazard mitigation funding. Like, everything would work better probably under that system, at least here in Florida. Do I hear you generally saying that?
Yeah, I would think that.
Okay.
For sure. Right.
Well, that is super helpful. Thank you for the candid answer. I know sometimes on these sort of matters, it's people can be reluctant to pronounce. So I appreciate the candor. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, thank you for all your years of emergency management service, and thank you for the couple of years you've got in now as the County Administrator, the work that you do in making our county better. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, this is John Hutchinson. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. Thanks for joining us. It's Valentine's Day. If you step outside, it's going to be cold, so bundle up or sit closer to your Valentine's because you're going to need to get warm. Hey, and if you're over in Gulf Breeze, if you're driving down Gulf Breeze Parkway, look out for a bear. There is a bear in a tree just past the Live Oak Village Shopping Center. He's been stuck up there for 2 days. Bears are active this time of year, out looking for Valentine. And looking for things to eat. So this bear has climbed up in the tree over in the Live Oak Village Shopping Center, and the Florida wildlife folks have said just leave him alone. They've kind of cleared a space around him, so hopefully he'll come down when he's ready, and they usually will, and go on about his way. But bears pretty much just roam around Gulf Breeze this time of year. I remember one year one was over on Pensacola Beach. Some great video of him running underneath the beach houses right on the beach. So they do get active this time of year. Be on the watch out for them. Just stay out of their way. They are not aggressive for the most part, but if you corner them, like any wild animal, you may have a problem. So if they feel threatened, I had a friend of mine who lives in Gulf Breeze who was sitting looking out his back window one day, and all of a sudden he sees his bird feeder swing by his window, and he looks out there, and there's a bear that is pushing his bird feeder back and forth, and as the seeds spill, he's eating the seeds, and so he opened the door to chase him away, and the bear ran and knocked his fence down. So make sure they run in the opposite direction of where you are. But bears are out walking around this time of year, very active, so watch out for the bears. All right, let's go to commercials.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
At Pioneer Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pioneer Credit Union, because at Pioneer, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pioneer.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pioneer Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a women's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact.
Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Join Dawn and Dr. Bouchard from Ashtu Novant Health 65 Plus Tuesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, where they'll be discussing the importance of annual visits with the Ashtu Novant Health 65 Plus care model. Tune in to call or text your questions at 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McCain this morning. We're glad you've joined us on this Valentine's Day. Hope you've got a Valentine that you've taken care of. If you've got a message you want to send us, please text us at 850-437-1620, and we'll let you participate. So Trump has been in office for 25 days. Today is his 26th day, and it seems like much longer. But it's only been 25 days, which is amazing. So I want to take a few minutes and kind of run down a report card that I put together on President Trump. And if you agree, that's fine. You can text. If you don't, that's fine too. You can text and tell me why you don't. And I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do this real quick. So, okay. He renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. I'm okay with that. But I just call it the Gulf.
I think we all do.
Yeah, and the 3 mile bridge. You know. So yeah. But I gave him a C for that. You know. Eh, whatever. He wants Greenland to become part of the United States, and I'm good with that if they want to. But not if it involves an invasion. And I don't think that's going to happen. But I think it would be good for us for a number of reasons. So I give him a B for that. I think that's a good idea. He's also suggested that Canada become a state. I think that's a good idea for probably the same reasons as Greenland. Lots of resources there. From a defense standpoint, it's good for them, good for us. The only pause I have is that Canada would probably come in as a democratic state. So, you know, I give him a B+. For Canada, even though it makes a lot of sense. So rebuild Gaza, his dream there to rebuild it, make it the Riviera. I think that's a great idea. I give him a B+ for that. I think the problem there, though, is that the hatred there for the Jews has got to go away. Pretty buildings are not going to stop
right.
Hamas and the terrorists. And so we got to deal with that problem, too. But I give him a B+ for his creativity. We're going over Trump's first 25 days. If you've got a thought, text us, 850-437-1620. The next thing he proposed was doing away with pennies. And I'm against that, so I gave him a C for that. All right, let's go to Steve Taylor in the newsroom, and we'll get back to his report card in just a minute.
Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. The Trump administration has ordered the mass firing of recently hired federal employees. Yesterday, the Office of Personnel Management met with agency leaders and advised them to begin firing probationary employees immediately. Hundreds of thousands of employees could be affected. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is going to meet with Vice President J.D. Vance today to discuss ending the war with Russia. The two are scheduled to meet at the Munich Security Conference, which gets underway this morning. Zelensky is expected to warn the U.S. against trusting Russian President Vladimir Putin, and consumers are expected to shell out a record $27.5 billion this Valentine's Day. A lot of money there. That could beat out the $27.4 billion record back in 2020. That's according to a survey from the National Retail Federation and Proper Insights and Analysis. The top places people are going to spend their money are online, followed by department stores, and, of course, florists. You guys spending money for Valentine's Day?
Oh, yes, already did. Yes. Yeah. I already took care of that.
Basically, you better have done it by now, because otherwise it'll be a little too late. Right. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, thanks. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McCabe this morning. We're going over Trump's report card so far for the first 25 days. The last thing I talked about was pennies, getting rid of pennies. It cost 3.7 cents to make a penny. The U.S. Mint lost about $85 million last year because of that. Let's keep the penny. I'm for keeping it. You know, it costs 14 cents to make a nickel. So if you go up the chain, it's not going to be any easier. So let's keep the penny. All right. Thank you for joining us this morning on this Valentine's Day. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McCabe. And let's go to a break.